Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing a big Predators win on Saturday. They're in the playoffs for the seventh consecutive season, and to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I am alive. How's that sound?
Well, that is a great start. That's always step number one.
It's helpful.
Corey, what did you think of the game Saturday night for the Predators against Carolina? And when you factor in the entire season and the ups and downs that we saw, what kind of an accomplishment is this for the Predators to make the playoffs with this group?
Well, first off, it's a great accomplishment. I mean, we've seen the numbers, less than a 1% chance of getting in at one point. But I think the bigger story for me, and it goes to the game as well, is the transformation of the culture of a hockey team. It's not something you generally see happen during a season. And, you know, culturally, they had to change. I mean, they got soft. They just did. They just got soft. And all those youngsters came up and reset the bar for how hard this team was going to play and the things they were going to do to win hockey games. How many goals do they score in front of the net now? I mean, a ton. They do the hard stuff. You know, the forecheck is so much stronger. And then, you know, I think winning that game, you know, everybody's going to point to finally beating Carolina and having to play them in the playoffs. Yeah, that's important. But I think it's also important, you know, to complete the story of the season that they earned their way in. They didn't back their way in. They didn't just beat a team to get to the playoffs. They beat one of the probably three or four very best teams in hockey to get there in a game that looked and felt like a playoff game. I mean, I can't really say enough positive things about it.
So do you look at this? It's basically 2 months now, just about 2 months, Corey.
Yeah.
And say, okay, this is sustainable. This is certainly it's a massive change in trajectory, but is it a trajectory that gives you optimism both for the series to come and for beyond?
Well, I mean, I think 2 months isn't a streak, okay? 2 months isn't you're hot. And like I said, they changed the way they play the game. And that's the big difference. It wasn't like, hey, they're going along and they got hot and they won 8 out of 10 and then they dropped, you know, 5 in the next 5. This is the way they play now. I'm not saying that for like 3 weeks or so. And when this is the way you play, you always give yourself a chance to win. And that's what they do. I mean, even when they lost at Columbus, they were tied in the third period. I mean, they were right there with a chance to win the game. Didn't do it, but they were right there. And so, you know, I am encouraged for the long-term prognosis of the hockey team because, you know, under John Hines and with some of these youngsters coming up, if this is the way they continue to play, they'll continue to be a good hockey team. Can they get better? Sure. I mean, sure, there's things they can do to get better. Now, as for the next series, look, they could play out of their minds great and lose in 5 or 6. But you know what? So could 90% of the NHL. They're playing one of the very best teams in the league. And that's why I don't get caught up with people who say, you know, oh, well, if they don't win a series, it's all for nothing. That's not true at all. You get in to give yourself a chance, and then you give it your best swing. And if you give it your best swing and you don't make it, then you don't make it. But you got to understand, you're playing one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup, and you could play great and lose. And we could say the same thing. If Tampa Bay played Carolina in the first round, they could play great and lose. And that wouldn't make their season a failure. It just means they ran into a really good hockey team. But I'm not setting up for the Preds to fail. I'm just setting up for people to take a reasonable look at it, that they're playing a really good hockey team, and one of these hockey teams isn't going to move on.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, as you're well aware, the playoffs, a much different game in the NHL than the regular season, and UC Soros does not have a ton of playoff experience. He's come in and spared Pick Arena in the past and also, you know, played the series last year against Arizona as well in the qualifying round. He's been awesome as of late. You've heard people make arguments about him being maybe in the Hart Trophy conversation behind Connor McDavid, who absolutely is going to win. Given that he's not got a big playoff sample size, but also factoring in the way that he's played, where's your confidence level in UC Saros heading into this series against Carolina?
Oh, I mean, I have a ton of confidence in UC Saros. I mean, I go back to the Stanley Cup a few years ago when he came in. The moment was never too big for him. You know, there were, I know he came into that last game when it was 2-0, and there were other games where he came in and he kind of stemmed the tide. There was never a moment where he came off the bench and you know, was just like a deer in headlights. And, you know, he's played some very big games, some playoff-type games here down the stretch. You know, like I said, last season, that's a different team playing a different way in front of him. And so I am not concerned about UC Saros headed into the series. Does that mean I think he's going to lock down and sweep Carolina? No. No, I don't. But I think he'll give him a chance to win because, you know, like I say, this is how this team plays. And yes, UC Saros is in a hot streak. He is in a zone. He is playing, you know, fantastic hockey. But, you know, we also know he's a good goaltender who gives his team a chance to win, and he can erase some mistakes. But they're also, for the most part, playing a heck of a lot better in front of him. And that's, you know, I don't know that gets talked about enough. You know, I have people who tell me that the only difference between this team the beginning of the season and now is a hot goalie, and I just think that's utter nonsense. You know, the way they're playing in front of him is a lot better as well. But there's no taking away from how hot he is. Can he stay that hot against some of the best teams in the league? Because you think if you manage somehow to get Carolina, you're going to get Florida or Tampa.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a tough call to try to get through those two. But that's what the call is, and we'll see if they're up to it or not.
Yeah, I'm glad you called that out as nonsense. It's only the goalie stuff is, it's just not true. This team is playing.
I can't even have that conversation.
Yeah,
I can't.
Yeah, it's out there. So Corey, we've talked about, first of all, just what a strange, you know, year it is. I mean, sometimes it comes out like you think about it more, and I think about it more with the Pecorine thing, just the fact that, you know, we're speculating on him, his future. We're speculating on whether this could be like a tribute game. And, you know, it's been weeks since anyone's heard from him just because that's how things are. There's no access in this environment to even broach the topic. But where are you on the speculation spectrum on Pecorine? Do you think tonight is going to end up being one we look back at as, you know, the tribute night for him?
Well, whatever he decides, I hope it's for the very best for him because he is unquestionably one of my five favorite athletes that I've ever covered. I mean, just from being a great player, a heck of a nice guy, a first-class individual, and a guy who you would ask a straight question to and he would give you a straight answer. I mean, he to me has been as good as they come. And if they don't start him tonight, that's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. So I am excited to see him get back in the crease. You know, if it is his last game here, it's his last game here. I guess is there a report about him going and playing in the Finnish league or something next year as a possibility? And look, he's a dad now, and I get it. When you have kids, it changes things. It does. It changes things. You know, but if he believes in this hockey team and its future next year, maybe he does come back. But I don't think we as a city and the fan base can do that. I think you have to appreciate tonight for what it possibly could be and treat it like that. And then if he does come back next year, you know, just be thankful. But I think tonight is a great night to say thank you, you know, for everything he has meant to this team, to the city and to the sport. You know, I go back to when this team almost left for Hamilton. He was the guy who said, I'm not leaving. You know, this is my team, this is my city, and this is where I want to be. And, you know, he put his stake down, and he's part of the reason, a big part of the reason for the way the last 10, 15 years have been.
Corey, last thing for you here. What do you think of the Matt Duchene situation right now for the Predators? He was essentially benched the other night in Columbus. He's back in the lineup on Saturday, right now on the third line on the wing. What do you make of all this? How do you think the Predators handle this, both in the short term, trying to go through this playoff run, but also the long term as well, with five more years left on his deal after this season?
Well, it's a tough call, and it's disappointing. I mean, you know, they tried getting him here for a long time. And, you know, I've watched him play, and I feel like the effort is there much of the time. But the results aren't. They just aren't. They have other guys who are producing more. And whether you're paying him, what's he make, $8 million a year?
Yep.
Whether you're paying him $8 million a year to sit and watch or to play, and I know it's painful to have a guy making $8 million a year sit and watch, but you're still paying him $8 million a year, and the goal is to win the game, okay? And so if he has to watch for you to win the game, then that's what has to happen. And those are the tough calls that John Hines has made and has to make. Because, you know, those are the ones you have to stand by, though, and those are tough ones for David Poyle, I'm sure, to have to stomach, because he's got to tell ownership about it and either support or not support his head coach's call on that. I mean, there's only one person who can change the trajectory of this, and that's Matt Duchene. And I don't know if it's, you know, he's not fitting in, or if he's just clutching the stick too hard, because he has had opportunities where you think he's going to score, but he doesn't. And we know he's talented. But like I said, there just have been guys who have produced more. I mean, does Eric Halla have the talent base of Matt Duchene?
No.
No? But what has Eric Halla done the last 3 weeks? I mean, he's torn it up. He's been a house of fire out there. And, you know, that's what they need. And if he could get it going in the playoffs, I mean, gosh, that would be tremendous. But I don't know how long that leash can be. You know, that's you know, it's one of those times where you don't envy being a head coach. And, you know, David Poyle has things to figure out with a couple of these contracts and with the expansion draft. You know, if he can free himself from at least one of these deals that's not looking so great right now, you know, he can give himself some options. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens and you know, what the appetite is out there, you know, for a couple of these guys that they might be willing to part ways with.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every Monday at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
All right. Thank you very much. 7 years in a row.
Yeah.
I always said that doesn't happen by accident. So good stuff.
Absolutely. Corey Curtis, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Predators. Look back at a great game on Saturday night. The Predators punched their ticket and clinched the playoffs for the 7th consecutive year. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Comes over on the Predators' right side for Howla. He got covered. Then Bean holds it in left point. Trying to pass across, comes to Howla. Shooting for the empty net. He scores! Eric Howla at 18:57 makes it 3-1 Nashville. 1 second and that will do it. And the Predators, folks, have made the playoffs for the 7th consecutive year. They beat Carolina here tonight. 3-1.
What a ride.
What a win for the Predators on Saturday night. They get it done 3-1 against the Carolina Hurricanes, punching their ticket to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the 7th consecutive season. And Joe, what a game it was on Saturday night. You had a Predators team that knew the situation heading into the game. Dallas had won the night before against Tampa Bay, so you had to approach that game as a must-win game if you're the Predators. I thought they did that. Carolina, I was interested to see how they would approach that game. With Dallas winning against Tampa Bay on Friday, that mean that Carolina had clinched the division by the time puck dropped on Saturday against the Predators. Carolina, at least at that point, iced their normal lineup, and by all indications, trying to go out there and win the game, still have the President's Trophy that they're trying to go win. I thought the Predators, especially in the first two periods, they played really well. I mean, you got a great play made by Granlund in the second period to spring free Luke Cunnan, puts the Predators up 1-0. Another great pass by Granlund in the third to give him a 2-0 lead for Cunnan on the breakaway there. But really, even outside of those two goals, I thought the Predators were playing pretty well. They had their chances. Now, I will say, Power play did not look all that great on Saturday for the Predators against Carolina, but by and large, 5-on-5. I thought the Predators played really well. They hold on at the end. Carolina makes it close, 2-1 on a goal by Martin Geeky, which is one of the great names in hockey. And then Eric Halla seals the deal with the empty net goal to make it 3-1, and that was that. And you could kind of feel a collective sigh of relief in Bridgestone Arena after the Halla goal goes in. But all in all, I thought a pretty good night for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, they stepped up. They were impressive. I thought they controlled play. I mean, it was easily the best performance since Carolina this year, which does lead to the question, how much did Carolina care? They had their full lineup. They're playing for the President's Trophy. Well, it's going to be what? It's going to be them or Vegas, right, for the President's Trophy, essentially?
Likely.
Pretty much, which I think is worth going after. I don't buy the curse thing. Maybe Rod Brind'Amour does. But he played his whole lineup, and the Preds handled them like they haven't, you know, for a sustained period of time. I mean, that's easily the best game they've played against them, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, it's you know, you're going to get into the, Carolina picked its opponent, and, Carolina – you know, you got to take your foot off the gas a little bit, and you wait and see what they do in game one. There have been some stretches of utter dominance for Carolina against Nashville this year that, I mean, I think lead you to wonder about how it will look in a playoff series. But I've got to think that builds confidence, even if, you know, they're desperation on one side and it's not desperation on the other side. There is a difference there. That makes a difference. But I still think if you're the Predators, you've got to – not only be happy with getting there and celebrate that briefly, but you also have got to get a little bit of confidence from beating that team in a game that did count.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, there's got to be some confidence that you take away from that. And I thought even in the game where he didn't have to do a ton, I mean, there were a couple of saves that jump out to me for UC Saros that were just incredible. And you got a 3-on-1 that he makes a save on late in the second period. Earlier in the game, makes a big save on a 2-on-1 odd man rush, and both times, I mean, he's just basically pushing as hard as he can to go across the crease and take away the net, and he's able to get his body on the puck, one case a blocker on the puck. He was awesome in that game. I thought really, though, to me, the story that just kept coming back and back was the fourth line and how good they were. I mean, Trennan took a bad penalty in that game. It was not a good hit, puts himself shorthanded, and you never want to put that Carolina team on the power play, so it was not great. Now, they killed that penalty off, looked pretty good on that penalty kill there. But other than that, I mean, I thought the fourth line, once again, both defensively, where they've been strong really for the most part the last couple of months, and also offensively as well, creating some chances, creating some looks, some odd man rushes. Tanner Jeannot continues to get in there, put his nose in there, and get to the front of the net. Like, to me, the story – or part of the story, once again, was just how good that fourth line was and continues to be for this group.
I mean, can we even call them a fourth line anymore?
I don't know.
If they had the most time on the ice, don't we?
The first line?
It's not the fourth line. It's the herd line.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the herd line. But, you know, you think of that checking line as your fourth line, but how many teams use that line more than any other line?
Yeah. Not very many, I can tell you. Probably not any.
Right? I mean, and it was a clear choice. What was the breakdown? I saw Alex Doherty tweeted that out the other night.
I have to go back and look at the numbers. But
they were like 17+, and I think the next closest was 13.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not your fourth line.
Pretty significant. That's a pretty significant gap right there. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. 1025, taking your thoughts all show long on the Nashville Predators. Nate texting in, I feel like it's dangerous for teams to take their foot off the gas, even if it's two meaningless games. What do y'all think about that?
Well, Rod Brind'Amour said exactly that going into the game.
Yeah.
I mean, he's adamant that, you know, habits and winning, it's got to. Now, tonight will be interesting. Now, see, that's the thing. Actually, Carolina has more to play for than Nashville has nothing to play for.
Right.
Nothing. Carolina, President's Trophy is there. That's home ice for as long as you play, and Carolina plans on playing for a long time. So that's an interesting dynamic, too. Like, they actually have more incentive tonight.
It is, but I also wonder, like, how do you weigh the risk-reward if you're Brendan Moore? Because you just lost somebody the game before. I mean, that was, you know, kind of under the radar Saturday night, but depending on how severe it is, could be a pretty big story moving forward is what happens with Jacob Slavin. He's a great defenseman in this league. He's the number one guy for Carolina. And he left the game after the first period on Saturday night. And Brendan Moore after the game, I mean, he talked about, you know, he doesn't know exactly what it is. So they took him out as a precaution. But he's definitely tweaked something. And if that's something where that keeps you out of the lineup for a week or a week and a half, that's a pretty big deal heading into this series. So I wonder if you're Rod Brendan Moore tonight, how much do you weigh the risk-reward of trying to go for the President's Trophy while also trying to keep the guys you have in your lineup healthy heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I would err on the side of let's get intact to this series and not lose anyone else.
Yeah.
So you think maybe we see very different lineups for these teams?
I think so. Like, it was interesting to hear John Hines after the game the other night because they've been so focused on just trying to get in. And now that they've gotten in, I think this is an opportunity for the Predators to give some guys a break, both physically, which I think you need at this point, but also mentally as well. Like, they've been in this grind and this playoff mode essentially for 2 months at this point. And I think it could do some guys some good to kind of get away from that for a little bit before you have to reset and go back in the playoffs later this week. Like, to me, like, I'm looking at the lineup right now. Matt Duchesne's in there tonight. Pekka's in there tonight. I'm probably leaving Granlund out. I'm probably leaving Forsberg out. I know Arvidsson's day-to-day, and I think some would like to see him maybe get some games under him before he gets back in the playoffs. There's no way in the world I'm playing Victor Arvidsson tonight. Just go back in the playoffs and ride from there. Like, I'm interested to see how many veteran guys could be out tonight, how much rest takes place. There's no way I'm playing Roman Josi tonight either if I'm the Predators. I'm fascinated to see how they handle this.
Yeah, you can't take everyone out.
No.
Can you?
I don't think so. I think it's against the rules.
It's an interesting, you know, you can see it the other night. I mean, I'm thinking, especially when that fourth line was out there, they really bother opponents.
They do.
As you may notice. And they were bothering the Hurricanes. And so you start building up that dislike. Tonight's another chance for that, but again, with maybe some guys who aren't going to see each other moving forward, but then you get into the series. I mean, the idea of 9 straight games between two teams.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's and it's already been that kind of year, obviously, where you see the same 7 teams over and over again, and you probably dislike them more than you did moving forward.
I wonder if there's a chance we could see Philip Tomasino tonight, just based on the lineup, what I think could happen in terms of rest. I wonder if there's a chance that maybe he makes his NHL debut tonight. I'd be interested to see.
Tomasino's debut, Rene's swan song night.
Could be.
That'd be worth watching.
It'd be a heck of a storyline heading into that game. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you think of the Predators and this matchup in the first round against the Carolina Hurricanes? How much confidence do you have heading into this series? We'll discuss that coming up next. 102.5 The Game and T-Mobile have partnered up to give you a chance to experience a Nashville SC game this season. Tune in later today and every Monday to Darren, Donick, and Chase for the keyword to text in to win. Good luck from 102.5 The Game, T-Mobile, and Nashville SC. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, John, I'm just wondering, with this game, and obviously have another game Monday, is there a confidence-building factor here? I mean, I know the biggest thing here is getting into the playoffs tonight, but is there a chance here to build confidence after struggling against that team, you know, for most of the season?
Yeah, Joe, I think tonight was a big was a step in the right direction in that sense where, you know, we had to win to get in. We had to win the game, which what we knew, but also, you know, talked with the guys a lot about it, was there's a certain way that we need to play. And I thought the assistant coaches did an excellent job coming up with a few different things over the last couple of days to present to the guys today. And, you know, I thought the way that we competed, the way that we played, you know, that was one where you had to win to get in. and you're also playing the team that you're going to play, you know, and we thought we played a pretty good game here tonight. So, you know things get elevated in the playoffs, but, you know, I think this is a good step for a first foundation here.
That was Predators head coach John Hines after the win for the Predators on Saturday night, 3-1 against Carolina, that propels the Predators into the playoffs. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Andrew on the text line says, if Pekka's playing his last game, you can't rest the Stars and lose the game in Pekka's last game. Yossi's plays tonight. I don't think you can approach it that way if you're the coach.
Yeah. Listen, if it's – you don't know if it's his – maybe you do. Maybe Pecorino goes to John Hines Day and says, this is it for me, John. You know, win one for the Pecker. Oh, I can't say that. Win one for the – oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
Well, this segment would immediately downhill.
I've just completely stepped in it. I was going to say for the renter, too. Oh, God. That was completely I swear that was unintentional. Ryan Porth can't even – he won't be able to do the show the rest of the – he won't. He's done. You get my point.
I do.
All right, let's move on.
All right.
God.
So what do you think?
Skia Tika.
If you know it's Pekka's last game, do you keep the whole lineup in there tonight?
Who texted this?
Andrew.
Andrew, you got me in trouble. No, you don't build your lineup around, like, we have to win this game for the renter. Okay? you make decisions based on longevity, health. You don't mess with guys who shouldn't be out there, you know. And you hope he wins, and you hope you have a nice tribute, and he might give up 5 goals, and it's still a nice tribute. And Porth is still unable to function in the control room.
Well, also, like, the more I think about it, like, I don't know that Pekka has made a decision. So, like, yes, I, as a fan, I think you view this as, until I'm told otherwise, I'm treating this like this is Pekka's last game. Because you think about the playoffs, it's probably going to be UC Soros the whole time unless something goes bad in the game or unless he gets hurt. So, you got to go into the playoffs thinking you're probably going to see Soros the whole time. Until you are told that Rene is coming back next year with the Predators, if I'm a fan, I'm thinking that this is the last time I see him. So I think it's going to be a great environment tonight at Bridgestone Arena. I do think they're going to start him. I know people disagree with that. Someone on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, saying, you know, if you give Soros tonight off, it'll be basically a week at that point between starts and between action for Soros. Is that too long off for Soros? I don't think so. I think it would be good to get him a break. He's been in a grind the last couple of months. He'll get some work this week in practice. I mean, I think he'll be fine as you move forward. I think they'll start Pekka tonight. I think they should start Pekka tonight. And I'm interested to see what the lineup looks around him. But to the point of the texter, like, I don't think if you're John Hines, like, if you think it's beneficial to rest Yossi or rest anybody else under these circumstances just because it could be Rene's last game, I don't think you can put somebody in just for that.
No.
Like what happens if you're putting Yossi in there and then he, like, gets hurt in the second period?
Can't
look pretty dumb after that.
Right. Arvidsson's 85% or whatever, and it's like, well, we got to win one for Pekka. Stop it. You know, I mean, you can't do it. You can't think of it that way. You can't.
You cannot. So what do you think of this matchup for the Predators against Carolina? And obviously, things have not gone overly well against the Hurricanes. They are 1-5-1. I'm interested to see what this game could look like because I think you could see some guys on both teams getting some rest tonight. So I don't put a ton of stock into this game heading into the playoffs. The success has not been there. And I talked about it earlier in the show. You're going to see predictions start to come out in the coming days here this week. Looking ahead at the playoffs and the matchups that are taking place, you are not going to see very many people pick the Nashville Predators to win this series. What do you think of this matchup for the Predators against Carolina? And did the way they played against Carolina on Saturday night influence the way you view this matchup at all?
A little, but I'm cautious. You know, I'm cautious because it hasn't been good at all. It's been to the point Now, within that same game, they had a much better second period, but like the first period of the game a couple weeks ago, where it really looked like varsity against JV. And when Carolina gets it going, the way they move the puck with their speed, with their aggressiveness, there are times when it has looked like a terrible matchup for Nashville.
Yeah.
It looked a lot better Saturday night. It was Carolina's full lineup. So what does that mean? I think it means something, but I'm still hesitant. The President's Trophy is a nice thing to go after, but they've won the division, and the desperation of trying to get in the playoffs versus we'd love to win the President's Trophy, it's just different.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Garland texting in saying, I think you play everybody. You crush Carolina tonight, make them wonder about next week. I understand resting players for the playoffs, but we've been in playoff mode for the last 30 games. I think it's part of why you rest them. It's because you have been in playoff mode for the last 30 games. But what do you think of the idea that Garland threw out there of, hey, just go after Carolina again tonight and maybe start to plant a seed of doubt in their head heading into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there's certainly there are benefits to winning, to playing well, to sustaining good play against them. And to Rod Brindamore's point, even before last game, there are concerns about bad habits, about things going the wrong way. But I still think ultimately you got to make the smarter choice. If there's anybody either that you feel like you've got to protect or who's a little bit banged up, I think you've got to think along those lines.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jim from Nolensville, who wants to weigh in. Jim, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, talking about the herd line, you know, we got Matthew Olivier also coming back next year, and this can permeate the lineup, I feel, for next year also. Olivier can go on another line, perhaps, and makes a very competitive, exciting training camp for us for next year. And I think Hines gets a lot of credit for all of this. And again, just like last year, Duchesne and Johansson, they have a chance to step up in these playoffs. You know, we need their leadership and some goals from them. And they each got a goal last year, but, it just wasn't enough. And there was one year when Leguan had 9 goals in the season, and Trotz told him, you can step up now in the playoffs. And I forget if he did get a lot of goals, but, you know, we used to have Colin Wilson do all that too. But yep. If they can step up, you know, then I would, you know, try to maybe retain them and bring Granny back. But if one of them has to go, then I would say we have to get rid of one of them and keep Granny and look to these young kids and stuff. And they've really built the enthusiasm back for us strong fans.
Hey, thanks for the call, Jim. We appreciate it. I mean, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the playoffs can be a reset button for some of these guys. Now, we've seen Ryan Johansson do this. Like, we've seen him even last year. He did not have a good season last year, but in the playoffs, in that round against Arizona, he was awesome. I mean, I don't think there's any way you could watch him play in that series against Arizona last year and not think he was one of the two or three best players on the ice for the Predators in that series. Can he do that again when the playoffs come around? There's a pretty good sample size at this point of him playing pretty well in the playoffs. So I think you feel good about that if you're the Predators. I would expect Johansson to play well. Can Duchesne do that? That's going to be the question I have moving forward. Can Duchesne get to a place, even if he's playing on the third line, where he can make an impact for your group? Whether that's on the power play, whether that's 5-on-5 generating offense and finishing, I mean, he had another chance Saturday night. He had a breakaway Saturday night. Couldn't get it to go. Like, those are plays in the playoffs that you need Matt Duchesne to finish on. And if he doesn't, it's going to be tough to win. Like, you need your playmakers against Carolina to make plays. It can't just be all about the goaltending.
No question. And, you know, Matt Duchesne, you know, the knock on Matt Duchesne, which probably has increased some here, but he's been on a lot of bad teams. Now, of course, it's not like he's constructing these teams that he's on, but he hasn't had a lot of team success in the league. Now, the one counter to that is how he played and how Columbus played 2 years ago in that shocker over Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
And that's the Matt Duchesne the Predators love to see. You get that Matt Duchesne and you get the Ryan Johansson you're talking about, got a chance.
When we come back, it's time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators taking on Carolina tonight. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal scorer for the Predators tonight, you will win a prize pack brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll do that next here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025, The Game.
Curve on front and the score!
Who's going to find the back of the net in tonight's Preds game? Robbie and Rex Road make their picks to click and welcome a listener to do the same. Pick to Click is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, the official vodka of the NHL.
And it is time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators taking on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight, the final game of the regular season for the Predators before they go against Carolina again, coming up here in the playoffs. A unique situation, to be sure, closing out two games against Carolina and then playing the same team in the first round of the playoffs. And the competition pretty much over at this point in Preds Pick to Click, at least at the top. Still a race between you and the listeners, 7-7. So tied at the top of the leaderboard, Ryan Porth with three correct answers, Robbie Stanley with two correct answers. So I'm trying to close the gap on Porth in the regular season tonight, and a fierce competition ongoing between Joe and the listeners.
I'm coming for you, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's win one for the Rexer.
That's right. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in today's participant, Tom from the Borough. Tom, what's going on, man? How are we doing?
Well, this is going to be the tiebreaker.
Oh, I like that. Ooh, I like the confidence heading into
this
it.
This is a book it.
That's right. So, Tom, the Predators taking on Carolina tonight. Who is your pick to click for tonight's game?
Mikael Granlund.
I like that. Granlund, the selection by Tom. So, Tom, you think that's the one that gets it done tonight against Joe Rexroad in this competition?
Mikael Granlund.
There we go. I like that. Tom has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Good luck in the competition in Preds Speak to Click. Ryan Porth, are you okay?
Do we need to stop the show?
Look at Porth. So, Tom selecting Granlund. This is perhaps, the most interesting addition of Preds Pick to Click all season long, for the simple fact of I have no idea who's going to play tonight. Well, Granlund could play. I have no clue. I don't know if he's going to be in there or not.
So you put it out there earlier that maybe he'd be one of the prime candidates maybe to take a rest.
Maybe.
Given, I mean, the guy plays on everything. He's been busting it like a lot of guys. But he might be – it's tricky. I mean, I feel like you need to pick a little bit of a deep cut.
Maybe so. Well, you got the first pick today. So
I got
you're
the first
up.
Pick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I've strayed from him, and you know he could be out of there too. But I feel like he's a guy who's just going to play all the time,
yeah,
till the end of time, every night somewhere in the lineup for this team. So. Joe Davion, Rex Croak.
Oh, he's back at it.
We're back together.
He's back at it.
Win it. Let's win it together.
I mean, win one for the Croaker.
You should have seen Rex Road in the press box the other night when Cunning took the puck behind the net and Yarcroak's just cut right to the middle of the ice and Cunning just doesn't even look at it.
What are you doing?
Rex, what's going on? What are we doing?
I immediately turned. I'm like yelling at Ving, like, what? How did he not see him? Like, we all see him. How did he not see him?
Screw you, Luke Cunning. I don't know, you've only scored twice today.
Well, he hadn't scored yet.
I hadn't scored at that
and
point.
He scored two goals out of that. I was like, well, I mean, he made up for it.
I guess he made up for it.
Although Mikael Granlund, or Michael, deserves a lot of the credit for both those goals. Mikey Granlund or Mikael Granlund.
Yeah, either way you want to cut it.
Or Justin Bradford.
So Granlund selected by Tom from the Borough. Joe Rexroad selecting Cali Yarncroak today in the competition. Give me Colton Sissons. I feel somewhat confident he'll play. Give me Colton Sissons to score tonight against the Carolina Hurricanes.
Hey, talk about a line that's playing a lot,
yeah,
and creating a lot of offense. I like it. So you're hearkening back to number one center,
yeah,
Western Conference Finals, hat trick, Colton Sissons.
Love how we've gone three picks deep at this point. Nobody has selected Forsberg. Nobody has selected Tolvanen. Now, I feel somewhat confident Tolvanen will play.
Yeah.
But I don't know about Forsberg.
Have we hit on your pick?
Ryan Porth?
Huh?
The final pick.
Have we hit on your pick? Have we? Win one for the Porther.
That's right. Ryan Porth, the final selection today, and Pret's pick to click. Who are you?
No,
are
you have not stolen my pick.
Okay. No, we talked about Tolvin, and you're like, yeah. So I thought you were all eager to
I
pick Tolvin.
You, this was about you, what you're
going
to do here.
Oh, no.
Okay. What are you going with?
Do what you want to do then.
95, Matt Duchene.
Really? Okay. Matt Duchene. I feel pretty confident he'll play tonight.
That's a pick. That's a good pick in terms of probably going to be out there. And, he's been close.
Yes. So Matt Duchene selected by Ryan Porth. So the predictions are as such. Tom from the Borough selecting Mikhail Granlund. Joe Rexroad selecting Callie Yarncroak. Robbie Staley going with Colton Sissons. And Ryan Porth selecting Matt Duchene. And the final regular season edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka.
And Forsberg and Yossi, very popular picks.
Yes.
But
uncertain.
This is a day to be unsure about those
now
guys.
Watch us just go all the way through this, and then John Hines is like, yeah, everybody's playing tonight. Saros is in there. Forsberg's in there. Everybody's going.
It would not be the most shocking thing.
No.
I don't think that's how it's going to go, but you could make that case.
You could.
Like, here's another chance to match up with these guys and build on some of the gains you made last game.
Go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, with pick to click today, maybe the three of you can pick who plays tonight for the Preds and give those trailing in the contest a chance to gain on Joe Rexroad.
No, but
just
I mean,
guessed the line. He said, nope.
Right. But I like the toilet bowl competition we have going here. And I think
this is coming down to the wire between you and the listeners.
Yeah.
This could be this tonight could be the game that decides it.
Tom in the Borough was confident. So confident he told us again who he picked.
That's right. Mikhail Granlund selected.
I don't think he said Mikhail Granlund.
He said Michael Granlund. He said Michael?
I think he said Mickey Al.
Mickey Al?
Yes.
Really?
We'll have to go back and listen to the audio.
Yeah, there's a lot of good audio to listen back to today.
Yes, there is. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, tonight is a statement game. Go out there and set the tone for the playoff series. You need to put doubt in Carolina's head. We've seen a few of those on our text line saying, we get it. It's the final game of the regular season. Technically, you have nothing to play for, but you need to go after Carolina anyway and create some doubt in their head.
See, here's the thing. So let's say Dallas had lost Friday and it was over. And then the Preds, you know, they lost. Again, the game doesn't mean that much, but they lost Saturday. They still hadn't beaten Carolina. I would think there'd be more incentive to say, you know what, some kind of success against this team. Some kind of success for you, confidence for you, slash some kind of doubt for them would be worthwhile. But you just got that. I mean, you just got that Saturday for whatever it was worth. And I do think that there's a little bit of difference in incentive on both sides. But full lineup of who is healthy for Carolina, I think you got that done. So I would err toward rest slash health slash injury avoidance tonight. Even though it may be Pecorine's last hurrah, and it may be tough for him to win a last hurrah with the lineup in front of him. But then again, we don't know what Carolina's lineup will be either.
So who would you, if you could hand select players to rest tonight, who would it be? Because I think there are some interesting candidates. Like, you've got Johansson and Tolvanen, who I think need to play. Like, I still think there's some work that needs to be done 5-on-5. And Forsberg has just been out for over a month. So are you keeping him out again, or would you like to see him continue to play and maybe build up some legs, build up some conditioning heading in the playoffs? That's a heck of a risk to take to leave him in the lineup as well.
Yeah, I to me, that's where I want to know the specifics of the injury. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Because if he's back and that's just over, then I think I'm keeping them together for a full game against that team. At least some kind of a look of what you're going to get better together. You need that line to be better. So I would leave them out there. I like the idea of Granlund, especially now that Tom picked Granlund. I really
yes.
like the idea of Granlund.
Big fan of it.
But no, I mean, I feel like Granlund's a guy he's used in every way in this team, and he's been such a big part of this. He makes sense. I just like Yossi is so important. I think those two would be right up at the top. And then, like you said earlier, like, I'm not messing around with Arvidsson if he's not all the way back. Yeah.
There's no reason to play Roman Josi tonight either. Like, none. There's no reason to play Roman Josi. Send him down.
Yeah, I think Josi, Granlund makes sense. Look, you can make the case for Duchesne, and I tend to agree. I think he'll be out there, and you want him to keep building. You want him to have a breakthrough and play better and all that stuff, but he did just come off his own injury, yep. So you could make the case that maybe some extra rest would do him well, but I don't know. And then what's Brind'Amour going to do?
That's going to be interesting to see what happens. This is a lot of morning skates you go through in the NHL are pretty mundane and not much to it. It's going to be interesting to see what the lines look like today, that morning skate. We'll keep you updated on that as that information becomes available. When we come back, we'll be joined by Darren McFarland, host of Darren Donica Chase, also handles the Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No.